Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
Anouk Brock is an international expert in leadership development. She is the author of 2 Dutch management books on leadership development and is one of the first certified leadership embodiment teachers in Europe. She holds an MSc in biology and has been working in adult development for over 20 years. With her embodiment and integral approach, she helps leaders to level up so they can contribute to what matters, especially when they are under pressure and complex circumstances. Her clients include the City of Hague, Dawn Foods, the Dutch Authority for Financial Markets, Geneva Center for Peace and Security, among others. Anouk's clients appreciate her pragmatic groundedness, her ability to explain complex matters clearly, and her sense of humor. And we're going to get a scope of that today, so please help me welcome Anouk to the conference.
Hi, everybody. It's really good to be here. I'm super excited to be sharing this material with you, and also I'm in awe of the whole conference. It gives me so much hope and joy to see so many people interested in this topic, and I really hope this will be the decade of embodiment. So today I'll be sharing with you how we can help leaders in organizations and also driven professionals in organizations to get more embodied, and also why we would want that perhaps, and then some tips on how to do it and how not to do that. Christopher said, feel free to drop your questions in the Q&A box and we'll get to them for sure. So let's start together with practice to help people get more centered, more in the moment, in embodied and focused. It's called turbo centering and it goes like this. If you're sitting or standing, doesn't matter. You can make your posture a little bit more upright and breathe in while you lengthen. And then exhale, make a little longer exhale than normally, relaxing. The in-breath gives you backbone strength and the out-breath gives you relaxation, softness and presence. And then become aware of the space around you to all sides, including the screen and behind the webcam and also behind yourself and to all sides. And this is already longer than the shortest version, which is just one breath. It goes like this. Shortest version, breathe in, grow taller. Think of someone that makes you smile, breathe out, relax, and become aware of the space around you. And there are teams who use this turbo centering practice at the beginning of their stand-up meetings, for instance. So it's really possible to bring it in short blasts, so to say. Right. And now that we're all more centered, maybe you can have a moment with yourself to wonder why you're here. What in the description pulled you in? And if you want, you can type it in the chat. You don't have to. But I think becoming more aware of what you're hoping to learn will help you actually get that out of this presentation. So why are you here? Christopher, if you like, you can read some of those things out. Otherwise, we'll just continue.
Yeah, please. Everyone, please feel free to drop in the chat. We have Lena says, I deliver leadership development programs and I'm curious to learn how to include embodiment more. Okay. Divya says, skill/stage/state. Let's get one more in there before we continue. Finish with three. Well, I know. Yeah, we have echoing Lena's. You know, for me personally, I'm here because I'm very interested in learning how to embody the leadership practices that you've written about.
Thanks. All right, that sounds right on. I'll try to speak in this presentation both to colleagues, like fellow trainers, coaches, and consultants who are bringing leadership and or embodiment into organizations. And I'll try to speak to leaders and HR people in organizations and hope to address both the questions and interests that both these groups have. Okay, so we already talked about me. I'll skip that part because we know it already. But what I do want to share is kind of where I'm coming from. So I called that the shoulders of giants. Big part of my lineage is Wendy Palmer's work, Leadership Embodiment. Trained with her starting 2010. Once I discovered her work, I thought, wow, I can get creative all I want, but some things are just really good and I just need to learn this. So I did, and I took it from there and I built on it. The other part of my lineage, so to say, is Integral Theory by Ken Wilber. Discovered Peter Mary's book, Evolutionary Leadership, in 2006. And that just opened up my world. I thought I was kind of done developing, but turns out I wasn't. And there's so much more that we can discover. So I'm building on both of those, an integral approach and a more embodied approach to leadership in organizations. Next to that, I want to acknowledge Mark Walsh. I've been working with him since the start of EFC, the Embodiment Facilitator course. And I think of him as a colleague. We're both like second generation embodiment teachers, you could say. Wendy Palmer and Richard Strozzi and all of those people being first generation. But where I dove deep into integral leadership and embodiment, Mark went broad and really discovered the whole field of embodiment. So I call him jokingly the Ken Wilber of embodiment. Right. And next to that, I have biology and Buddhism as my sources of inspiration. Okay. So what's coming up? I'll tell you about that. We have, first I wanna spend a little bit of time exploring what's your personal vision on leadership, because leadership is such a big word, but if we can really bring that home, I think that's a good start. Then I'll tell you why I think it's useful to bring embodiment to leaders. I guess most of us would agree, but it's good to talk about it. Then how can you bring embodiment into organizations so it's not scary or fluffy or weird? And then what about these three dimensions, skill, stage, and state, and how they intertwine? I think that's a vital part that is so useful to understand more about if you want to bring embodiment into organizations. And then I'll give you some extra tips on how not to work with it in organizations. And I have more of that in the free ebook that you can download on the website. So if you're into that, then you should check that out. We'll share the link at the end, no worries. Okay. So a little bit about leadership then. I have some slides later on and everything I'm saying now is already on those slides and I'll share that later, but I think seeing me is also nice and having a bit of both. So leadership, in my opinion, is not about being the biggest boss, the biggest bully. It's also not about being too nice, being a pushover and just trying to make everybody happy. And it's also not the same as being a manager. So then what is leadership? I think we could look at it more broadly, that in this world that's becoming more and more complex, and actually a lot of organizations are making less layers of management, then we actually need more leadership in everybody, more leadership qualities, in order to achieve meaningful outcomes together. So it depends on your role, whether on your formal, if you have a formal role as a leader, or if it's more about your informal powers and ways to get things happening. But in a sense, we're all leaders and followers, whether we have our own company, whether we're officially a manager or a CEO or not. So that's how I view leadership. And I made a nice definition. I think it's nice. I hope you like it. So I'll read it out and then I'll read it again. Leadership is offering inspired direction to yourself and others with focus and flow, so we can all reach meaningful results, also under pressure. Leadership is offering inspired direction to yourself and others with focus and flow, so we can all reach meaningful results, also under pressure. So, have you ever experienced that? I hope you have. And when we practice embodiment and centering, we can experience that more and more easily, also under pressure. So that's really one of the promises of having more embodied leadership in organizations, is that actually it can be, the atmosphere can be better, and we can still achieve results. Actually, I think, and what I'm seeing in organizations, is that we're then more effective. We work better together and we're more innovative. And I'll explain a little bit more later about why that is, what happens under pressure that makes us stupid, coming up. But first, let's talk about you. We have three parts to your vision on leadership in this model, which I adapted from Leadership Embodiment. The first part is inspiration. So who or what is your inspiration? It doesn't have to be a perfect person, doesn't have to be alive even. But when you think of this person, it needs to bring up some embodied sense of joy, upliftedness, a sense of, yes, that's important, or a sense of, hey, we're good, you got this. So you can, these sources of inspiration can be more like support. Could be a family member or a team member or a friend, or your pet, a place in nature. Or it can be inspiration, like a spiritual source of inspiration, or could be Brad Pitt, if that's inspiring to you. And again, the person doesn't have to be perfect, but it's about, this person embodies a certain quality that you would also like to have a bit more of. And then it turns out, once you choose a person kind of intuitively, maybe you admire Obama or Michelle Obama, and then you think, what is it that they have that actually inspires me? And you come up with qualities, maybe calmness, clarity, and drive, something like that. And then you can ask yourself, do I maybe have those qualities too? And usually you find you actually do. And using these sources of inspiration as a support system helps you to embody that more. Because if I say, well, I'm very clear and embodied and calm and driven, it gets awkward. We get into our self-watching mode. But if I can call on inspiration from Michelle Obama, Wendy Palmer, the Dalai Lama, whatever works for you, and I say, what would it be like with a little bit more of that in my body right now? Then it's more like you can let it come through you. And Wendy Palmer was speaking about that in her presentation as well. So if you like that, you can watch that too. That's the first part, inspiration. The second is related but different. It's the quality of presence. This is about what matters to you in your leadership and communication, that even if what you're trying to achieve fails, you can be proud of yourself. So it's about how you do it, not what you're actually trying to achieve. It can be a quality of being like, I want to work with lightness and focus. You can have two if you want. Or dedication, or decisiveness, power, joy, anything positive you can choose here. But it's about how do you want to show up in the world in your work. And then there's a really easy way to train that. You can center yourself, breathing in, growing taller, breathing out, relaxing, and becoming aware of the space around you again. And then you can ask, what would it be like with a little bit more of that quality, let's say lightness, in my body right now? And then my mind has a tendency to tell my body what to do, but this is actually more the other way around. It's a delegating it to the body. What would it be like with a little bit more lightness in my body right now? I don't know, but the body knows. And then within 2-3 seconds, you get that lightness, and sometimes it feels like more bubbly, or you lengthen a bit, or there's a smile. The response can be different, but it works like that. And for some people, this simple question, what would it be like with a little bit more of a certain quality in my body right now? It can be really powerful. So do that every day and be careful what you wish for, because it works. And people will start to comment on that shift in you. So we had inspiration, then we had the quality of your presence, and then we have the focus on your contribution. That's the third and last part of this vision on your leadership. The focus on your contribution is about what makes your work worth doing. What kind of good are you contributing to? And hopefully it has something to do with the core business of your organization or your team. And ideally, you would be able to say that contribution in one sentence. For instance, in my case, I bring more well-being and effectiveness into organizations. I could add on that, I bring more well-being and effectiveness into organizations using an integral approach to leadership embodiment. So it says what I do. Also, it doesn't have to be your elevator pitch. It can also be a sentence that only you understand. When I was writing my first book, here it is, on leadership embodiment, it's called The Hidden Dimension of Leadership in Dutch, and we're translating it, hopefully. When I was writing that book, I used a lot of these tools, especially this one. And my sentence was, I'm writing a juicy book on leadership. Now, that wasn't something I would easily say when somebody asked me, so what do you do? I could, I guess, but it was more for myself to remind me what kind of book I wanted to write, a book that comes alive when you read it, that you can already sense the shift in yourself. So I hope that helps you reflect on what would be a good sentence for you. And don't try to make it perfect. It's more like a work in progress. And every time you say it out loud, you get the feedback back from hearing it, and it starts to get better and better. So don't strive for a perfect sentence there. Okay, now it's time to share my screen so I can show you this visually. Let's see. And then see if I can make that full screen. Well, that used to work just before we started and now it doesn't work. So sorry, you have to do it like this. So it's what I call the big triangle. This is what we've just been talking about. How can you work from flow? You have your sources of inspiration and support, and we imagine those behind us. Then your quality of being, how you want to be. You want to be centered because that makes you more yourself. And maybe you want to add a certain quality of lightness or clarity or decisiveness, something you want more of. And then you have the focus on your contribution. And that's in front of you. Okay, so remember this image, and then I'll show you how you could do an embodied exercise with that if you want to. You can jump up and join us or just watch and do it later, whatever you like. So this, you can see me well enough, I think, a little bit more. So what you could do every morning is center yourself, breathe in, grow taller, breathe out, relax. Become aware of the space around you at all sides. Then imagine that space to be a big triangle. The tip of my triangle is now in front of you. I mean, behind you. And behind me are sources of inspiration and support. And I feel them as wind in my back or hands on my back. And they remind me that I'm part of something bigger. I'm not doing it all by myself. I'm part of this embodiment wave in history. And I have people supporting me and wanting me to succeed. So we have all of that. You can even put your clients behind you because they would love it if you did a lovely job as well. So those are your support system. And what would it be like if you would feel that a little bit more right now, if you could let that support you actually, because a lot of us are very used to doing it all by ourselves, and that's fine. But we can let things come through us actually quite easily, and it makes it all less work and more flow. So maybe you can get a sense of that. Oh, there is this kind of wind at my back that I can enjoy. And then inside you, you have this quality of centeredness, maybe with an extra vibe of lightness or another quality you like. And then in front of you, this is your direction, your contribution. What are you contributing to? Say, you could say your sentence out loud. I bring more effectiveness and well-being into organizations. Okay, so those are the parts. Now I'll turn to my side and show you the physical exercise. You don't have to do that, but it helps. It's 1 foot forward and the same hand out. And then I step together and my hand joins and I step back with the other hand. So it looks like this from the side. And I can pause, feel my inspiration, remember my focus on my contribution, and I can do a couple more steps. I bring more effectiveness and well-being into organizations. So from the front, looks like this. And if you get confused with the steps, just imagine something, try something, whatever works for you. You don't have to have the movement just right, but that might help. And even if you just do that for 1 minute in the morning and saying your focus on your contribution out loud, it really shapes your day, both consciously and unconsciously. So I thought I'd share that with you. Now, then I'll go back to sharing the screen here. Oh, that's better. Here we go. So now I'll go more into the theory and the stage, state, and skill. So why would we bring embodiment to leaders and organizations? Well, lots of reasons, but for instance, Lalou showed in his book, really inspiring book, Reinventing Organizations, he showed again that if the leadership of an organization doesn't walk the talk, the change or innovation will probably fail. Already 80% of culture change fails anyway. That's huge. But the chances that it fails if the leadership doesn't walk the talk are really big. And they often, if they can kind of delegate it, they often have a tendency to. So we really need to invite them and take them along on this journey so it doesn't stop at their neck, so to say, that they really start to walk the talk. Then the second part, stress versus flow capacities. This is why it's also important to bring embodiment into organizations, because under stress or pressure can also be overexcitedness or lots of deadlines. Under stress, important parts of our brains go offline. For instance, information processing, self-reflection, creativity and innovation, and empathy. just to name a few slightly important capacities. And see that self-reflection is part of that list, that means we don't really notice. And it's so many organizations, and I see the pressure is so high. People do it to themselves, but the system does it to them as well. It's the culture. It's like you have to be on 24/7, and that's not healthy. And it seems people are productive because they're working really hard, but actually we're missing these capacities. So in a world that's changing so rapidly with so many complexities, we need those capacities. And that means we need to get used to being more centered and then find out that actually you can get more done. It just feels less busy, but you can do the right things quicker with more calm and flow. So it's really a different way of being. And that's why it takes a couple of years to get really good at it. But the good thing is, even with one-time turbo centering, you already notice the difference. So it's both a quick fix and a lifelong practice. That's what I really love about it. Okay. So then how do we bring it into organizations? Well, lots to be said about that, but here are some big tips. Don't sell the embodiment. Sell the solution to their problem. We get, as coaches and trainers, we get excited about a method, a model. And this is great. I want to share this with the world. But the world doesn't really care. You need to solve their problem. And then as part of that, you bring in embodiment. And you can explain why that's a good idea. Then the bigger picture. You see it on the right, the picture with the three, the I, we, it circles. I'll show it in a bigger screen in a minute. I like to show visually the organization and then explain why embodiment fits in. Because otherwise, in their experience, embodiment comes out of nowhere. It's like, so I'm busy with my computer. I'm trying to get all these things done. And now the body, I mean, that's what my wife does at yoga class. That's what I do when I go on holiday, but it works. And of course, there's many people already, also leaders, who do understand the importance of the body. But then how can we help them use embodiment and centering in little steps, quick fixes? And then it can start to become a habit and something you really love to do. And it can go deeper if you want. But it can start as with a quick fix. And we often try to do too much too soon. And the third thing is back it up with science facts. People love science, love neuroscience. I'm a biologist in my background, so I can explain how it works and why this happens to our brain when we're under pressure. And people just like to have a bit of explanation, a bit of framing for their mind to understand more. Of course, it depends on your group, whether you can immediately jump them into an exercise and experience something, or you need to do lots of science and small steps. I have more tips on that in my ebook. So let's have a look at those models. This is what I use. You can come up with your own, or you're welcome to use mine as long as you mention my name. That's fine. I like this. It's to the left is what I call, how can we thrive on purpose, using our purpose? That's the core there. It's the purpose of our team or organization. And I call it the organizational flower because it looks a little bit like a flower. And the blue arrow is the services and products that we're making together. There's the I, the we, and the it. So it's inspired on an integral model, but usually there you see quadrants, I, we, it, and it's. I like it like this because I can place the purpose in the middle and I can really have this clarity of how everything intertwines and influences each other. So I show this and then I say, okay, so what we really can change is how we show up. So the I circle, the I dimension. And then if we zoom in on the I dimension, then we get to the three dimensions of leadership. That's the picture on the right, stage, state, and skill. And I explain how skill is relatively well known Fortunately, we used to just make the most senior or most knowledgeable person the leader. Then we found out actually it's good to have some skills, some people skills, some management skills. And that's really already a really good thing. But there's two more dimensions, and I'll tell you more about them, that we really need in this time, I believe. And you can see already how you can see this as a 3X, like in high school, you had the X, Y, and Z axis. And so the green is your capacities when you're fully in the flow, in a nice project with a good team and it's happening. And the red is when you're under pressure. And this can also be you're trying too hard or you're overexcited. That's the same result, I'm sorry to say. So you see that then the red part is much smaller. So it's a smaller part of ourselves. We still kind of function, just not as brilliantly as we could. So zooming in a little bit more on those three dimensions. Like I said, skill, it's also called horizontal development sometimes, and it's about competence. Developing your talents, the skills you need for your job, and minimizing your pitfalls. I'm really an advocate for not trying to be perfect at everything, but to find out where your talents are and really develop those, and then to minimize your pitfalls, meaning everything that's below the line of it's just getting you or other people into trouble, then you need to do something about it. Otherwise, never mind, good enough. So stage is the second dimension, and both stage and state are less well known, but fortunately it's happening. People are learning about this now. It's also called vertical development, and it's about maturity. So when we are adults, our development doesn't necessarily stop. The brain is still very malleable, can be influenced. And the way we see the world, the way we see ourselves also can still change. It doesn't automatically. It needs the right amount of challenge and support, but we have these different levels of maturity. And the stage dimension is about dealing sensibly with complexity. So being able to understand bigger, more complex systems and how things are related and influencing each other, but then also still being able to act wisely, to take the next step, and to not get stuck in that analysis. So it's both understanding complexity and being able to make sense of it and work with it. Sounds good. Sounds like something I would like more of our leaders to be able to do. And maybe when I describe it this way, people pop into your mind that maybe famous people or people you know privately, you realize, oh, that's why they are so good at that, or that's what they're doing. Or maybe you think, oh, that's what I'm doing. The third dimension is state dimension. It's the depth. You can also compare this with a flower that... The vertical is the stage. So if you have a long stem of a flower, it has lots of overview, so it can see a lot of complexity. But then if you have a really thin stem of the flower, which is the state development, it'll just fall over. It doesn't have resilience and strength. So state is the depth, and it's about self-regulation. It's about being able to shift your mindset from stress to flow, for instance, using turbo centering. And this is where embodiment, mindfulness, mindset training come in. Okay, look briefly at all of them. Skills, I explained already. It's like competence. It's the right combination of knowledge, skills, and attitude used in a meaningful context. That's one of the official definitions of competence. Examples like project management, communication, feedback, difficult conversations, etc. And this is very important, but it's also already covered in a lot of trainings. The next one, the stage, this vertical development is about maturity. And this thing with stage development is we cannot skip levels. We cannot force it. It can only be challenged and supported. What does help seems to help is knowing about it, because you start to see it and then you start to embody it. Meditation seems to help, and journaling, but of course not just any meditation, not just any journaling, but at least gives you an idea. And it takes us about 5 to 7 years to go from one level to the next. So these are big steps in how we view the world. Children grow up quite easily until the level where the culture is at. And then from there, it can start to get harder because the culture is also a kind of magnetic force pulling you back. So maybe you experienced that in your own life. Two examples, because there's different lines of development within stage development. Two examples of stage development. One is value systems. Maybe you've heard of it, spiral dynamics. It's how we see the world, not exactly what we see or what we think, but how we see the world and what we value. And the picture here is the spiral dynamics, different steps. And these steps, you can find them in your own development when you were growing up from baby to where you are now. And you can see them in a team or in an organization. You can see what is the center of gravity of a team or organization. And you can do tests to see where the individual people are, what they have a lot of, what they are underdeveloped in, or what they have an allergy for. And it can really be a useful tool to look at what do we want to achieve together, and then what mix of value systems, worldviews do we have, and does that match? What do we need to be aware of, or do we need to bring someone else in with a different color, so to say? So if you've read Reinventing Organizations, the colors are slightly different, of course, because it's just a model, right? It's not the truth per se. It's one way of viewing the truth. Blue can also be amber, depends on the model. And yellow can also be teal, depends on the model. But it's more like these steps, and I'll go a little bit more into that in a minute. The second thing is leadership maturity. That's a different line of stage development. And that's more about how you see complexity. Are you able to understand complexity and your self-reflection and meaning making? Do you even have some self-reflection developed, for instance? This is one example of the maturity. It's simplified. It's this one is made by CCL. I really like that it's simpler. It can be a good way in. There are some other really great models that I love to use as well, but this shows you simple steps. Starts from more dependent, being part of the team, following, wanting direction, aligning with others, to a next step. So that is more blue, what I was just saying. Then the next step becomes more orange. It's correlated, right? More independent, self-directed, purposeful, having an internal compass, but not lots of internal world. It's starting. And then interdependent, the collaborator, that is more towards teal or yellow, seeing systems, working with systems, also being able to think longer term and shift between details and a big picture, being okay with paradox, it's a big one, being able to hold multiple perspectives. So it's a nice example. And three is an easy start for people just learning about this. So then let's look at state. Let's do another centering because we've been listening for a long time. If you want to, you can use your arms as well. You can stay sitting or stand up. This is one exercise we do in leadership embodiment, bending over, breathing in, following your vertical, and then breathing out, expanding, filling the space. Let's do that again. Breathing in and up, out and down, becoming aware of the space around you. And maybe you can reconnect with that big triangle that we had, the sources of inspiration behind you and the tip of the triangle in front of you, what you are bringing into the world. By the way, you should only sit for 20 minutes, then you should stand up. You can sit down immediately again if you want, but after 20 minutes, the bones and muscles already start to break down a little bit, like in space happens as well in astronauts. So I'm really trying to train myself not to sit for so long. I can stand up and sit again immediately, but that does the trick already. Okay, state development, self-regulation. I love this quote, stress makes you stupid, flow makes you fantastic. And that has to do with that change between all your capacities online and your most brilliant self, or a subset of your capacities online. So under pressure, our higher brain parts go offline. You miss empathy, innovation, and reflection. But there's something you can do about that. You can turbo center. And here's the acronym PISA. You can upright and relax your posture, both sitting or standing. You can inhale up and a long exhale down. Become aware again of the space around you, especially if you're in front of the screen all the time. And then if you want, you can activate a quality, inviting more ease, focus, or power. What would it be like with a little bit more of that in my body right now? And then just give the body 2 seconds to take care of that. So that's the first thing I always teach people, is this turbo centering. Okay, then how can we work with it, and how should we not work with it in organizations? Well, do you remember, if you've done a lot of self-development and embodied work, do you remember it was not always fun? Stuff came up. We tend to forget about that because we're like converts and we want to get everybody into our tribe. But there's plenty of good reasons not to get more embodied. And we need to be careful with people and respect their natural boundaries, and we can invite them, but we should never go too fast. Connect. This stage knowledge of these colors and everything, it can become something that you actually place in between yourself and others, because you start to analyze everything. And it's so such a fun, interesting thing that you start to notice everywhere in the politics, in the papers, in your organization. So practice using it to connect instead of dissect people, this knowledge of levels of development. Because you're probably wrong in your assessment anyway. It's just a helpful tool to wonder, I wonder if I speak to them in a slightly different way. Would that help? And the third one here is language, that rolls out of the second one. Maybe you can practice using the matching value system, so we can quickly try that. Here's the picture again of the value systems, and let's focus on red, blue, orange, green, and yellow. Red is a little bit more Trump-like, bully-like, has speed and power. All of them have good sides and pitfalls. Blue is more bureaucracy, order, rules. Orange is more modern capitalism, competitive, entrepreneurial, goal-oriented. Green is about the people, the group, the connection, and ideals. And yellow is about systems thinking and seeing how these things work and being purpose-driven. So try explaining embodiment in red. What would you say in a red language? Or in blue, what would you emphasize then? Or orange? Or green? And for yellow? So I'm going really quickly, but this is actually an exercise I do a lot with people. And if there's enough people interested, we could actually have like a practice group where I would organize and help us practice this, translating our work into different value systems so we get more agile in our language. So to give you the answers, which are not the answers obviously, but just a sense, if you're speaking to red, you need to embody red, short sentences, win their respect, short explanation, challenge them. If you're speaking to blue, you have to explain more about the goals, about the procedures, about the science behind it, and make it normal. If you're speaking to orange, give options, challenge them, emphasize that it helps with performance and results. Green, more reflection, more sharing, and for yourself, you need to be even more authentic and transparent. And yellow, all of the above, but briefly, and emphasize the purpose, and then just go for it, do it. So summarizing these value systems, these three dimensions of leadership, skill we're already aware of, leveraging talents, but just skill is not enough. Then stage, bringing this overview in complexity, working with uncertainty and still being able to take the next steps. It takes a different kind of project management as well when you're operating at a higher stage, a later stage. Then state, dealing with pressure and bringing inspiration. So a few words about how they intertwine, and then we've covered most of the important things I wanted to share. So next stage brings new skills. That's how stage and skill intertwine. In the next stage, it becomes important your presence in the moment as a human being, being able to hold the space for all the people, for the project, for the purpose of the organization. And things that come online are complexity, systems thinking, and integral theory, which can help with the mind side of understanding what's going on. So both intuition and intellect are important at this next stage. And then state impacts stage and skill, because stress makes you stupid and flow makes you fantastic. And see this big green, your capacities at your best, and the smaller one, the red one, where you feel like you're working really hard, but your reflection is offline and you're not sure if you're actually working on the right things. And it might be able to be calmer, more focused, and achieve more if you're centered. So there we go. If you want to engage, I'll have question and answer soon. If you want to engage and you're a book geek, so I'm trying to get my books published into English. This one is on leadership embodiment and my building on Wendy's model. And this one is about change leadership and how you can work on what matters with your team and overcome fuss. If you'd like to help me somehow, maybe we can crowdsource part of the translation. Just let me know. On the website, there's a form. Also, if you're into Agile, there's a free bonus webinar I'm doing a month after this conference. That might be interesting for you. Then, like I said, if you want to practice this together, I could throw together a practice group. We could work more on this and bringing it into our work. Or you could do an individual journey with me, taking your next step, writing a book too, becoming a bigger expert, whatever you want. And I can help you with the leadership embodiment exercises. And if you're in HR and you want to continue the conversation for your organization, we can make an appointment, obviously. So on this website, you see you can download my slides. You can see some short videos that are related to this talk. You can download the ebook where I go more in depth, even with more tips on how to bring embodiment into organizations. And you can book a complimentary session. If 1,000 people sign up, I'll be spreading that out over time. But just if you feel like, yes, I would like that, just go ahead and fill in the form and we'll sort it out. Great. Not bad in the timing. So Christopher, maybe we can see if there's questions or you need to do an announcement.
Yeah, I have a few here ready to go. We'll go through a little bit kind of rapid fire. And then of course, if the question is answered in a way you feel is incomplete that you asked, by all means, you know where to get in touch with Anouk. While we do the Q&A, we have a question in the chat. If you could put up the turbo centering slide again. So if we could just have that in the background while we do the chat, Q&A, that'd be great. So the first question comes from Yvonne. Yvonne wants to know, how would you recommend starting to apply this model to museums and cultural institutions?
Hang on, I was trying to multitask, which I failed at because I was looking for the slides.
That's okay.
So I'll take your time. Screen again so we can have that slide.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, in the meantime, you know, just sort of, there we go.
So can you read that question to me again, please?
Sure. So how would you recommend starting to apply this model to museums and cultural institutional leadership?
I would do the same thing as these general suggestions and think about what's their value system already, or is there a lot of green there or not, and get clarity on what they're struggling with. So instead of leading with embodiment is for you, you should find out what they're struggling with. And since embodiment can help with almost anything, I write more about that in the ebook as well, then you can come up with how an embodied approach could help them. What I usually do myself in leadership programs is mix it. So there's a thread of leadership embodiment that keeps coming back because it's a practice, right? Just one Aikido workshop is not gonna do it. So it keeps coming back and I build on it. And that's a really nice way. And then I have a more normal leadership training. And we work on skills as well. And we have discussions and we study. So it's a whole package of skill stage and state development. And I really like working in that way and using that organizational flower to also help them get clear on where's the next low-hanging fruit, so to say. Where do we want to work on first in order to work more smoothly together? Mm.
That's a really nice transition into this next question, which is, do you think that after COVID-19, there will be more space for new leaders and leadership?
Yes and no. When things are uncertain, like now, two things happen. People go up the ladder and there will be more space for complex leaders, more higher stage development and state development. And people also go down the ladder and they go back to red and blue. You see this in lots of big countries around the world right now where bullies have been elected with the use of the algorithms of social media. But it's what people do. Under pressure, we revert back to strong leadership. But we also have some beautiful examples around the world, like Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand, who are showing that you can be a strong leader and be compassionate and connected and smart. I really like that combination. And actually what I think we need to emphasize both in politics, but also in our organizations, when we grow up, our head gets bigger and bigger. We get so smart. But then if we don't practice presence and embodiment, we're a head on a stick. And that's actually not very attractive to be led by or to follow. So some politicians are very intelligent. And I think this is part of why Hillary Clinton back then wasn't elected. She's a bit of a head on a stick. But if you can be more present and embodied, then you can also speak from your core. So in leadership embodiment, we have head, heart, and core, and we work with all of that. And then you can be confident, connected, and clear, and not just a head on a stick. So that's the kind of leadership I hope to help bring into the world.
That's awesome. And in the interest of time, I'm going to try to combine these two really interesting questions from Colin and also from Melanie. So the first part is, how would you recommend finding the center of gravity in an organization? Mm-hmm. And secondly, how would you recommend discussing the concept of embodiment with, you know, like heavyweight executive clients that might not necessarily be open? So in other words, what are your strategies?
Right. Well, the center of gravity, you can, if you know your home, if you've done your homework, then you kind of can guess it already when you've walked into the organization or had Zoom calls with them. You can explain the model and ask the people themselves. And you can do assessments as tests, and they give you a very nice profile. That profile is then not the truth, but it's the starting point for the continued conversation. So both spiral dynamics, but also some great leadership development stage models exist out there. And And they have developed assessments as well, or self-assessments. And I heard yesterday or the day before that the Phoebe by Ginny Whitelaw, which is an embodied leadership model, also has some developmental steps built into that. So I didn't know that, and I'm excited to try that out too. And what was the second part of the question?
The second part of the question was strategies that you have to talk to either executive clients or maybe a boss that is not necessarily open to this idea of embodiment.
Yeah, so I try to link it to top athletes and explain how mindset is what athletes use to get the mind and body aligned, and that that's actually what leaders also need, because leading is also top sport, right? And comparing it to sports and asking them about if they like sports, and otherwise we can find other metaphors. Maybe they ride horses or drive motorcycles. Finding a way where they already have that experience of being in the flow or the zone or really centered and still open. And then they can start to bring that into their work, because usually it's just separated. It's different worlds for them. And the science helps a lot. But I find that on the highest level in organizations, it doesn't need a lot of explanation, a bit of experimenting and explaining briefly is enough. They get it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's depends on what level you're talking with. If people have been sent to your workshop, that's a different ball game, right? Then you have to work a little bit harder to get them involved. And again, in the ebook, I give some tips on how to deal with that. For instance, not really making it clear that people don't have to join. You can demo an exercise, say what it's good for, explain that it's a nice thing to experiment it, and then decide what you think of it. But that for whatever reason you don't want to do it right now, that's fine, and you learn from watching as well. And then if somebody dares to not join, to really acknowledge that and thank them for not joining, and then ask them what they learned from watching. I think I find that's a great way to build safety. And most people join anyway because they're curious and everybody's doing it. But yeah, that's a way how I like doing that.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I can't believe we're already at the end of our session. If you want some more information on some of the work that we talked about today, you'll definitely find it in the chat. You'll also find...
Can I say the link out loud?
Of course.
Sometimes people don't see the chat so clearly when they watch later. It's anouka.nl/tech. So anouka.nl/TEC, the Embodiment Conference.
And then also, let's feel free, let's continue the conversation on the Embodiment Conference coffee break pages. We have that in the link. And also on the Embodiment Conference Facebook group, we'll also throw that in the link. Remember that this presentation is available for free for 48 hours. And then after that, it'll be part of a package that you can purchase. And if you do purchase that package, you get extras like notes, audio versions, learning lists from presenters, and some other items. Real quick, before we wrap up, finally, though, I just want to give you the floor to close out and give all of us your top tip for living an embodied life.
Practice. Everything you do is practice anyway. So practice who you want to be. But little steps, don't be so hard on yourself. Compassion is very important, and humor.
Ah, that's so beautiful. Thank you so much for the inspiration. And I hope everyone enjoys the rest of the conference.
Thank you so much.